From Columbia, South Carolina, it's time for the Don't Bet On It podcast. Welcome to Don't Bet On It. We've got a packed show for you today. Quickly to recap last week, we did six NFL picks and sadly went 2-4. We did get the Atlanta United pick correct. So 3-4, technically, thanks to the MLS footy.
Sure.
It's pretty good, right? On today's show, we're covering almost every bowl game, pretty much all of them. We're going to leave a couple stinkers out. And we've got a very special guest, Scott Eisberg, sports director from WCIV in Charleston, South Carolina.
Celebrity.
talk some Heisman and college football playoff. We're very excited to have Scott on the show. That's coming up after this first segment here. All right, boys, let's get to the picks. We're hitting the New Year's Six games first. We got Fiesta Bowl, number 11 LSU versus number 8 UCF. UCF plus 7.5, over under set at 55.5. Sterling, where are we landing on this?
This is a tricky game. Very tricky. So everyone wants to talk UCF getting slighted, not in the playoff. LSU, somehow a three-loss team, ranked 11th. The three losses for LSU were Florida, Bama, and the 7 overtime thriller to A&M. How many people think UCF would have won 2 of those 3 games?
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody.
All right.
Can't.
You don't give them a fighter's chance against Florida?
So here's the thing.
Maybe.
Read this. Excuse me. Peep this.
Yeah, you read it.
All right. UCF schedule. UConn.
Don't tell me what to do.
South Carolina State. Florida Atlantic. Pitt. Southern Miss. I'm sorry. SMU.
I think that's enough.
Yeah. Got it. Memphis.
I think that's
Memphis,
enough.
Memphis. ECU. Temple. Navy. Cincinnati.
So you're telling me
USF,
not a great schedule.
Memphis. Who in the SEC wouldn't go undefeated with that schedule?
Yeah, I mean,
2 Power 5 teams.
Right. The problem for me, though, is LSU doesn't have anything to play for. Very similar to last year's bowl game UCF Auburn. Played against Auburn. Coming off a SEC championship loss, you know, there's not really much to play for. They might go through the motions. However, UCF trying to keep, you know, that clean record going so they can claim that they're national champions again. So this one's a tough one for me. I think if they played in the first game of the year, I think LSU would beat them. Now that they're playing at the end of the year with not much riding on it, it's a tough one. UCF is getting 7.5 points, okay?
All right.
So that's what Vegas thinks.
Okay.
I'm taking LSU 14 points.
14 points.
14 points. LSU going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's easy. I think UCF is a fraud. They're hiding behind
especially
schedule.
With their quarterback gone.
McKenzie Milton is no longer.
I'm so sick of hearing about it. Nothing would make me happier than to see Coach O shatter all this crap. LSU, easy cover. Put it down. Put
boom,
it in the books.
Boom, boom.
Taking LSU all day. Give me the points.
I can't stand this UCF stuff. They don't deserve to be in a playoff. They don't deserve to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. I want to hear Coach Ogeron say, "Go Tigers," at the end of this. And I think they win by, I'm going to say 17 points.
Wow. Ooh. One upper, huh?
We love
yeah, three upper. I mean, everything Sterling said, I don't like to agree with the guy, but I mean.
Thanks, Clay.
No, I mean.
Appreciate you.
It is true, though. I mean, but does Central Florida doesn't want to get embarrassed in this game because one day we're going to get to 8 teams and they're going to want to be, you know, one of the top 8 teams.
And part of me hopes they win that game.
Right.
So that it will go to 8, or at least the conversation will.
I think we all agree with that we want it to be at 8 one day. So, man, if Milton was healthy, I think I'd feel more confident picking Central Florida.
That's a big deal.
Greedy Williams not going to play. He's their star cornerback. Just one cornerback.
LSU cornerback.
Sorry. Yep. LSU cornerback. I'm going to take the Tigers and, yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers, go.
Well, I don't believe in the whole, you know, you got something to play for type deal. It's just the kids are going to play no matter what. I mean, nobody likes losing. And I hate the fact that the UCF quarterback's out because I would take them money line straight up if he was playing. But I'm still going to go. I'm still going to ride UCF.
Wow.
LSU just hadn't impressed me. LSU usually thrives on defense.
And their offense is not great.
Well, yeah. I mean, their offense is, it is what it is. UCF puts up a lot of points, but LSU's defense is not what it normally is. That's the problem. So, you know, LSU's 100th in the country in points allowed this year.
Wait. I'm going to have to preface that, though. That was a 7 overtime game where a team scored 70 points on them. So that's not really fair.
Yeah, but they still put up a lot before that overtime.
Sure.
And UCF is 104th, so they're pretty close in defense. UCF scores a lot more. I'm just going to take UCF here.
That's also against, what, Conference USA opponents, not the Alabamas and the...
Yeah, I mean, the SEC West is probably the hardest conference in all things.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, right? 100%.
I think Brett just wants against the grain here.
So I don't mind it, though.
This is what's called a differential pick.
I don't hate it.
In the game.
This is called going for the crickets.
Hey, by the way, real quick, Adam, get in price of this game. $13.
Wow. In Glendale. Are you serious? In Glendale?
Glendale, Arizona.
Unbelievable.
I was just about to ask that real quick.
For a New Year's 6
I was about to say, is this a game that we're all tuning in to watch? I mean, does this get you excited?
That's a 10 a.m. game in Arizona.
On New Year's Day?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll not be watching.
Yeah, right. At 1 p.m. our time.
Are you sure it's 10? Over. Because Phoenix or Glendale doesn't
That's
do
true.
The
they might be They might be 11. Shit,
so. They,
might,
they don't do
time? No, they don't. Recognize daylight savings time. So I think it's actually going to be among 11 other o'clock.
Things. Yeah, I think it might be at 11.
Because when we went there for the Final Four,
no big deal.
Bazinga. yeah, I looked at the time and it was like,
I think you're right.
Way off.
Yeah,
so,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Rose Bowl. We got number 9, Washington versus the number 6, Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State is a favorite, 6.5 points as of the recording of this podcast. Over under set at 58. Clay.
Yeah, I think this is a really underrated game. I think we look forward to the two semifinal games, but the Pac-12 champion and the Big Ten champion are playing each other in the Rose Bowl. 10-3 Washington, 12-1 Ohio State. I don't know about y'all. I know they're on the West Coast, but I didn't find myself watching any Washington game. I mean, I would consider myself somebody who watches all kinds of games, but it wasn't like they were playing some marquee matchup or they were just doing, you know, Chris Peterson, great coach. I mean, that guy's done lots of things at Boise State and Washington now. Is this another one of those games where they're, you know, what to play for kind of thing? I think it is. It's Urban Meyer's last game.
This year.
Yeah, this year for the Buckeyes. I don't know if he's faking another heart attack so he can get the Cleveland Brown job. I don't know. But win one for the Gipper kind of type, maybe thing. I think the guys play for Urban. I think he's kind of a player's coach kind of thing.
All right.
Ohio State -6.5. You know, Haskins was up there for the final of the Heisman. Yeah, he probably finished third, I would think. I mean, did he finish third?
Good numbers,
Yeah, third. So, I mean, still a great player. I'm going to ride with Ohio State -6.5 for me.
How can Ohio State be 6 with 1 loss? Washington's 9th with 3 losses just because they won the Pac-12?
Yeah,
conference champion.
I mean, this is an easy one for me. Give me Ohio State. I think they blow them out, and Urban probably wants to have a parade to announce his retirement.
I watched one Washington game, and it was the Washington State matchup in the snow,
and they beat them, right?
Yeah, they won the game, but I mean,
boring
as shit.
Team. Boring.
They beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship 10-3.
Also boring.
Also boring.
Did you see the crowd in that game? There was like,
it? See, but Ohio like State. Ohio State's going to score though.
No, so. I think Adams. Yeah, he's just saying.
No, that. Yeah, I'm shitting on Washington to get to the point of that. Even though, if we said many times in previous episodes that we don't like Urban Meyer, Ohio State, Big Ten, we think they're all frauds, but they're going to blow Washington.
Yeah, I just don't think Washington's
going to blow Washington out. They're going to cover that 6.5, maybe 3 times. So, give me Ohio State.
I'd like to repeat that we do not like Urban Meyer.
Urban Cryer.
Not a good guy. What do we play for here? Like you say, Clay, I always like how you do that. Get in price this game, $120. Wow. I think that it is the Big Ten versus Pac-12.
Sure.
Like, that's not always happening anymore with the bowl system.
It's a lot of Rose Bowl money.
Right. Yeah, there's
and
a lot of
everybody's going to go to
a lot of
game.
Companies.
Yeah. Right, and Pasadena, California, Washington.
I think it's just going to be one of those games where it's going to be kind of hard fought for about a half, and then Haskins is probably going to put it on, and he's trying to probably improve his draft stock at some point and so forth, and they want to win for Urban. They do. So I've got Ohio State as well.
Yeah, I think they win one for Urban going away, even though I don't.
Who knows how long he's going away for?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much quitting on them because they didn't make it into the playoff. But give me Ohio State. I think they cover the 6.5 easy.
Yeah, I'm not going to go against the grain on this one. There's no chance that Washington can beat Ohio State.
Yep.
I hate Ohio State, but I don't even think Haskins is going to have to play the fourth quarter. It's going to be.
Urban will be in the studio for doing the ESPN for
maybe
the
we can get him on the
final games.
Yeah, we'll give him a call.
I mean, we can tweet him.
Yeah, he doesn't don't have anything bet on better to do, right? This isn't a high-stress environment.
Nothing stressful know, about man. This place.
You never know. He might come maybe. In and just head between his knees and just.
Maybe.
Holy Lord.
Coward.
All right, moving on to the Sugar Bowl. We got Squeaks, number 15, Texas Longhorns.
It's Herman.
Versus number 5, Georgia Bulldogs. This is a tough, tough matchup here. Georgia favored by 11.5 over under at 58. Squeak, please don't pick Texas again.
I mean, for the love of God.
There's just something about them. If you pick against them, they do well. If you take them, they're going to shit the bed.
It's that orange.
It's just going to happen. Texas playing well. Played well in the Oklahoma game in the championship. But give me the SEC team that took Bama to the wire.
Had them on the ropes.
To be in the playoff. Give me Georgia, and I think they win by at least 14.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I mean, Georgia really probably should have beat Alabama in that game. I mean, like I say,
if they don't have Jalen Hurts,
but that's the second time they should have beat Alabama and they didn't do it.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Two different ways.
If they didn't have the backup quarterback, even though he's really much a starter, but he happens to play behind Tua. But
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know. Georgia plays well at home. They played well in Atlanta, you know, kind of being at home. They've already lost one game near New Orleans at LSU, 36-16 this year. About 2 months ago, and I just don't see what they have to play for, Clay. That's your thing, man. I just don't see it. And by the way, get in price for this game, $91.
Not bad.
Pretty good for a bowl game.
People want to go to New Orleans. I mean, they're going to go. They do. I mean,
this is my first dumb question of the night, but this is in the Superdome.
That's correct.
Okay,
correct. In the Superdome.
Always.
But I
actually chalk out on Bourbon Street, and they just
that's where they actually they just, play right down the street.
They chuck it right.
They throw beads each time they're
hurricanes for every touchdown.
But I'm going to go with Squeak here and pick his boys in Texas in this game against Fred. But I do think Georgia wins, but I just think that Texas covers.
Fred is smiling over there. You know.
No, I'm not smiling.
Cam Dicker
ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it.
Dicker the kicker?
All right, Cam Dicker would have to put in at least 5 field goals. Cam Dicker just doesn't have it in him. That turf gets him every time. He's got to have real grass.
Oh, he's a real grass kicker.
Yeah, he's a real grass kicker. He can't kick on that fake stuff. He was in Arlington for the championship game. I think he missed one, but don't quote me on that. Georgia, 11.5 all day.
Yep, I'm going with you guys. I don't think Texas has a chance. I think Tom Herman, I mean, he hasn't been in a big game since he's taken over at Texas, really. I mean, I guess Oklahoma, perhaps, but.
Oklahoma.
Georgia minus 11.5 is easy money to me.
Okay. This is going to sound off the reservation. Hear me out.
It's Herman.
It's Herman.
It's always been Herman.
So I think Texas comes out guns blazing. I think Georgia sleepwalks through the first half. I think Georgia pulls an Alabama, comes back, wins by 10. That's not going to get them the cover. So give me Texas. I still think Georgia wins, but I think they're sluggish, a little bit of the hangover. But I think they come back, and I think they win the game. But I'm going Longhorns.
Hey, you know Vince Young does not play for Texas.
That is correct.
Anymore, right?
That is correct.
Swift, Holyfield, Hardman, Fromm. And I see Justin Fields getting in the game late.
Oh, yeah.
Wowza.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Fields.
Way too much.
Probably going to start next year from Moswell and just transfer to Eastern Michigan.
It sounds like you're shitting on my pick. Are you shitting on my pick?
I think
Bulldogs,
so.
Bulldogs, large.
All right. Down to Jerry's world, guys. Cotton Bowl. Is this the first time the Cotton's been in the semifinal since they started the playoff? I think it might be.
Probably.
Don't ask questions that you don't know the answer to.
We don't know. Maybe you guys do. I really don't know. Cotton. Number two, Clemson Tigers, boo, versus number three, Notre Dame, also boo. Notre Dame, a dog, 11.5 point dog, over and under at 55. What do we think, Brett?
Oh, man, I hate this game. Everything about this game I hate. Clemson's strong defensively. Defensive line. Their secondary trash. Is one of the worst in the entire country. Who's their quarterback? Ian Book for Notre Dame.
Does he have a rib this week? Or does
I don't
he
know.
Have a rib?
He had a deflated rib the other day.
To somebody?
Well, remember Muschamp says doesn't have energy. They say, oh, yeah, he's got a leg.
He had an upper body about 2 weeks ago.
Upper body.
They've had like two or three different starters this year, right?
He's playing, Brett.
He's definitely playing.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely playing. Clemson, Trevor Lawrence being
like
a freshman.
Month off, hasn't he?
He's good. I don't think he's that good, though. I really don't.
Laser rocket arm.
Oh, yeah. He's got an absolute cannon, but he's not accurate downfield.
Smush face.
Notre Dame plays a little bit of defense.
Terrible hair.
Not a lot of defense, but a little bit. Shitty. Maybe a shocker here. I'm taking Notre Dame in the points.
Sick.
I mean, I hate Clemson worse, but I think Notre Dame is one of the only teams outside of Alabama that could possibly beat Clemson. So I'm taking Notre Dame at the points.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Notre Dame supposedly has a good defense, but, I mean, who have they played this year? I mean.
Southern Cal, man.
Yeah. They struggled against, what, a 5-6 Southern Cal in their last game?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to pick this game, but, I mean, we have a semifinal with a double-digit dog.
Yeah,
I mean,
both of them.
Sweet.
Both of them.
I mean,
that's true, sir.
Way to pick the top four, you know?
They should have put Georgia in.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess I'm going to go go Clemson to cover cuz I don't know if Notre Dame's got anything on
He's
offense.
He's a closet Clemson fan, wipes it all off.
One more quick fact. Notre Dame plays all over the country. They travel a lot.
Wow.
Clemson doesn't travel as much.
True. That's a
I
great
mean,
point.
They go to Boston College. That's as far as they have to go.
I mean, they go to Winston-Salem. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Talk about the environment up there.
Notre Dame is
Raleigh.
Goes all over the place. I think they'll just play better being on the road because it's a road
that's
game.
That's a really sneaky point for sure.
What do you know?
Nothing.
Sneaky point. Another sneaky point. $120 to get in this game.
Ooh. I see a reoccurring theme here with Travis. Yeah.
I do like to know about the ticket prices.
It's lower than I thought.
I mean, that is a little low
for
a playoff.
That's online with the Rose Bowl.
There's a lot of seats in Jerry's World.
$100,000
money.
This is going to shock people, but I am taking Notre Dame in the money line, just because
Ooh,
I hate Clemson.
Money line.
Wow. Don't bet on it.
Cannot hide it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the game against South Carolina. Clemson's defense gave up 600 yards and 500 yards passing to some guy named Jake Bentley. Their defensive line was not nearly as impressive as it's supposed to be. I don't know. Maybe we exposed them. I don't know.
But does Notre Dame have the weapons to throw it for 600 yards against them?
They're in the playoff. No, not that much. No.
I don't think so. I mean, Book's got 2,400 yards passing, 19 touchdowns. So maybe. If you listen to this podcast at all, you know I'm never picking Clemson, no matter what sport, anything. Notre Dame plus 11.5 for me.
I'm going to take
the over under.
I'm going to take that.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's one. We picked four games and it's only been
I'm going to take the cop out. I will preface that by saying if I were picking against the spread here, I would probably take Notre Dame. I'm not going full money line like Trev, but I would take Notre Dame in the points if I were leaning that way. But I feel the safer bet, if you were to bet, again, this podcast is called Don't Bet on It, I would take the over of 55 if I were actually betting on it. But I do think Notre Dame has a shot at winning this game.
The only team in America that I would bet against outside of Clemson is Notre Dame. I cannot stand
the draw here.
Their literal holier than thou attitude.
Does it get
Rudy?
They don't join a conference too. Is that kind of a thing too?
Yeah, all of their the
NBC
conference
Sports
thing.
Pack.
Rudy was a lie.
Rudy was offsides.
Rudy was offsides.
It's a fake story too. Look it up.
I mean, Notre Dame shouldn't be in this game.
It makes
to start
me,
off
yeah,
with
because right.
they don't play. They should not even be in it.
They get to pick their schedule and they
do
go
we think Georgia's better?
They play
100%.
Yes. Just making sure we're all.
This
on board.
Is a, this is five a, ACC games this year.
This is
they have that agreement.
This is a 2-point line if this is Georgia Clemson.
Georgia,
100%.
Georgia beats Clemson, so it's
the line is way closer than 11.5.
So I am going to take Clemson in 11.5, and I hope they beat the crap out of Notre Dame. It'll be hopefully as good as the night.
Wait, you took Clemson?
Notre Dame snuck in against Alabama and thought, remember that? Was that the first playoff? That was
and they lost 40 to zero.
Still,
I'm pretty
still
sure.
Still was that man's
eye
takeout?
Yeah. Still looking for I'd still like Clemson to lose.
I mean
sure. But
maybe, well, I'm not going to say
I that. Wish they could all lose. Both lose.
Don't you do it.
All right, Orange Bowl. Number one, Alabama. Versus number four, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a plus 14, over-under set at 81.
That's a lot of points.
Down in Miami.
81. Going to Miami.
Prime time, Saturday night, Miami. $138 will get you in this game, Adam. Not sure if you want to pay that or not.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
But you know those Alabama fans are going to second mortgage their trailer to get in.
You can't even say. I don't even think you can do that.
I think you can.
Is there a mortgage on it in the first place?
I don't know. I think so. You can. We'll ask our buddy. Like a title. If there's a money guy who wants to sponsor us, we can certainly ask that person.
If anyone needs insurance on their trailer as well, that's theirs.
No, this is probably the game to watch, though. This is the game everybody's going to be talking about. Kyler just won the Heisman over Tua. Tua's might play, may not play. We don't know. Jalen Hurts may or may not play, depending on if Tua plays. I don't know which one you want there. I think that plays in Alabama's hand, though, because they've got to prepare for both quarterbacks. And Tua had a walking boot on at the Heisman ceremony. And I tell you, he's probably a little upset that he lost. If he does get to play, I think he's going to take that motivation and really kind of dig into it. So and stick that walking boot up someone's.
He had a nice little scooter to ride on, too.
Nice little scooter. I've got Alabama covering this one. I just think that they're going to – I got 17 points on this game. I think they're just too strong of a team. They have too strong of a defense, and Oklahoma hasn't had to play that kind of defense this year. And so I've got Alabama covering.
Alabama averages 48 points a game. Oklahoma gives up 33 points a game. Oklahoma's defense is extremely bad. Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa could be starting for the quarterback.
That was good. You did well.
Thank you for the Crimson Tide. It may be a high scoring game. Obviously, 81 points. That's a lot of points. But Alabama's going to cover the 14.5. Oklahoma's defense is bad.
Fine. I'll do it. I'll be the first one to take Oklahoma. And let me tell you why.
You're a baseball guy.
No, the guy is the X factor. What shakes good defenses to their core?
Tua.
Ed Orgeron.
Other than Tua. A quarterback that can escape the pocket. You can game plan for a guy who can throw the ball.
Specifically Nick Saban's bugaboo also.
Right. You can game plan for a great running back. You cannot game plan for when a play breaks down and a better athlete just makes a play. And he's probably one of the best athletes in the game. Mm-hmm. So I think they keep the game close. I think Bama wins. But I think 14 is a little bit too much. And the over might still be in play here. Because like Trevor said, there will be points. Give me Oklahoma in the points, but I think Bama win the game.
All right. Not a cop-out. I'll take the under. I think Oklahoma is going to be a little taken aback. You know, I agree with Sterling that Kyler's going to have his run of the mill here, but I think they're going to get out there and get smacked around a couple times and going to be like, oh, okay, so this is what it's like to play somebody with some talent on defense. I do think Lincoln Riley has a huge advantage scheme-wise, potentially. They're going to score a lot of points. Alabama's going to score a lot of points, but I don't think they get to 81. I see this as more of like a 28-21 type game. I do think Alabama will win. I don't think Alabama will cover. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I hate agreeing with you so much. I really do. But I'm taking the under as well. I see 35-28 maybe. Probably maybe 45-28. Alabama's going to score some points. Oklahoma is going to get hit hard early, like Adam said, and they're going to have to adjust. They'll score late points, I think. I'm seeing a lot of late third quarter, fourth quarter points for Oklahoma to try to get back into it. So I'm taking the under.
I think we already know who I'm going to take. That's going to be Alabama.
Duh.
Kyler Murray. I mean, he's not played the big boys like this. I mean, that's small. I mean, he's quick, sure.
Everything you're saying is the same thing about Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield lost last year, too.
He also put up 48 points against Georgia.
He did.
Overtime game,
not Alabama. Oh,
wow. Yeah, I mean, I mean, I get what you're saying. Lincoln Riley can draw up some stuff, but he's also going against probably the one of the best defensive college coaches to ever coach. So I think Saban can counter that. Kyler Murray will do some scramble plays, but I still think Alabama covers the 14.
Kyler's got to get ready for spring training in a few weeks, too.
Yeah.
Pitchers and catchers reporting.
Hitting seeds for who, what, Seattle? Oakland?
Oakland A's.
Somebody that's not going to be any good.
He's 100%.
3 million. Scott Boris's agent said he's not playing football.
Yikes.
I'd rather go play football than play for Oakland Athletics.
You're a liar. So you'd rather risk CTE over 3 mil?
I think that's not even a question. What I would do?
I'm going to sit my ass in the dugout.
I'm going to play baseball, ride a bus, and cash that $4 million.
He ain't riding no bus.
By the way, we will have daily podcasts for MLB.
That is an absolute lie.
How long does it take him to get to the big leagues?
I don't know. First round pick might get a fast track
center fielder.
Who makes it first? They'll
probably play shortstop.
Which football player makes it first? Kyler Murray or Tim Tebow?
Tim Tebow's making it this year,
probably. Yeah.
Yikes.
Pure winner.
All right, fictitious national championship game. Let's just say it's a rematch.
No, you pick your own two teams.
No, okay, fine, whatever. Clemson, I didn't pick it. I said Alabama win the game. So Clemson,
which two teams you think will be
Clemson
in the game?
Clemson and Alabama, I think, are going to be in the game again, and Alabama is going to whip Dabo's ass. I think it'll be Alabama.
So are we just picking this as the winner?
As whatever,
because we don't have a spread, so let's just pick it heads up.
I think the spread will be about, if that's the game, I think the spread will be about 4.5, maybe
six, maybe up to six.
Niner?
In Alabama's favor, and I think Alabama.
Not above a touchdown.
Alabama blows their doors off. Brett.
Alabama versus Notre Dame.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And we're going to have a repeat of what, 2015?
14, 15.
14. Yeah, Alabama's going to stomp their ass.
Oh, yeah.
If it's Clemson, they'll stomp their ass as well.
The better game is Clemson versus Alabama.
It'll be a
17-point
game either way you look at it. 17-plus, Alabama wins national championship.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the game is Alabama-Notre Dame, just because I don't want to see Clemson advance.
Yep.
Either way, Alabama gets it done against either team and shows them who their daddy is.
Oh, boy. How great of a matchup would it be, though, Clemson versus Oklahoma? That would be a fun matchup to watch.
I was going
to
say I'd love to see Oklahoma in the game.
That would be awful.
For entertainment purposes.
Yeah, I'm with Brett on that. That would be awful.
I would not watch.
I would watch it.
Based on my picks, I'll take Alabama versus Notre Dame. I've got that at probably a 12-point spread. Ooh, Alabama favored. I've got the get-in price at around $145.
Put an over-under on that get-in price.
Over-under $145. We'll just
go
ahead.
Over.
Levi Stadium in San Francisco.
And I've got Alabama just a-rolling.
Okay.
Alabama versus Clemson. Alabama wins easy. And I will be at Twin Peaks downtown if you'd like to watch the game with me.
He'll be by himself.
Wow.
If it's a Clemson game, I'm actually not going to go out anywhere and watch it because you'll get the gas station fans that just bought a hat. It's like, you know who the starting quarterback for Clemson is? It's a girl named Tracy Lawrence. Sorry.
Tracy Lawrence, country star?
Yeah.
All right. Love it.
Give me Oklahoma.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
What?
Bama.
Hey,
it doesn't matter who they play.
Bama. Over.
Bama wins it. Give me Bama.
All right. That's that'll do it for the New Year's Six. We're gonna take a quick break. And
do we get our celebrity?
We do. We have a very special guest, Scott Eisberg from WCIV in Charleston, South Carolina, coming up. We're excited to talk to Scott. And
can't wait to hear who he voted for in the Heisman.
We'll see. Stick around.
Since 1971, the team at Meeting Street Motors has been serving West Columbia with your pre-owned car needs. New this week is a 2011 Honda Element. With only 143,000 miles, this car is loaded and comes equipped with four-wheel drive. It can be yours for only $89.95. Or come test drive our 2008 Toyota 4Runner Limited. It's absolutely loaded with four-wheel drive, a third row, and a sunroof. Priced at a steal at only $98.50. Come on by and see Don and the gang and drive away in your new vehicle. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram for daily deals.
Welcome back, podcast fans. We are excited to have a guest on from WCIV in Charleston, South Carolina, the sports director, Scott Eisberg. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Good to be on with a bunch of degenerate gamblers sitting in Columbia, South Carolina right now talking about betting lines. It's a career goal of mine, so I'm happy to live it out.
Well, we are so happy that you could live that dream out with us. Scott and I go way back, have known each other for about 17 years, I think, going on 18. And Scott, we are excited to talk to you because you are a Heisman voter. And we would really like to get your thoughts on the Heisman and maybe if you're willing to share how you voted.
Yeah, no, I am happy to share my vote. And I wasn't correct. I kind of stand by what I went with. I went my 1-2-3. I went 201. I went Kyler Murray 2, and I went Travis Etienne 3. And I'll give you the reasoning behind it. I went 201 because I don't feel that he should be penalized for having to be pulled out of games early this year because his team was absolutely demolishing.
Agree.
Teams. I don't think you should be penalized for that. If you're leading your teams to victories by that, you know, those kind of margins, I've got no problem with you coming out of the game because that's just smart coaching. There's no reason to leave somebody in and possibly get them hurt when you're up by 40 points. You just don't need to do it. And I know people kind of pulled back on their Tua votes at the end because, you know, he didn't have a great SEC championship. He didn't have a great Iron Bowl. Like, I get it. But when you look at the body of work and you look at that undefeated body of work and the way they were slaughtering good teams, I think you have to give it to Tua. I mean, he's the quarterback at Alabama. To me, it would be hard not to give it to Tua because of that.
What, Kyler was, Murray, was there, real quick, Scott, was there a Heisman moment for him, though? You know, everyone talks about the quote-unquote Heisman moment. Was there a Tua Heisman moment?
No, there wasn't. I don't think there was a Tua Heisman moment. I don't think there was. Obviously, if he had led them to victory in the SEC title like Jalen Hurts did, that would have been it. No, there wasn't. I think for me, it was just an overall body of work. You know, I don't look at the one moment that they have to shine. To me, it's just a body of work. I'm looking at, like, stats from the entire season. I'm looking at a lot of it to me is the eye test. Like, this is a guy that's playing quarterback under Nick Saban. You know, there's more pressure on an Alabama quarterback to me than anybody in the country because you're expected to win every single game. Like, you are expected to go out there and win every single game. And he did that. So to me, he passed the eye test. His stats were good. You know, he had the two rough games there at the end. But before that, I mean, he was pretty phenomenal. Sure. And they're the number one team in the country.
I don't want to be contrarian, but they've won national championships with some pretty pedestrian quarterbacks.
They have. Yeah. They have. But those guys have all gone on and done, you know, pretty good things. I mean, I know they're not NFL stars,
sure,
but there are guys out there. I mean, if you look at Greg McElroy, was a heck of a quarterback, and AJ McCarron was a pretty good quarterback, and who was the guy with the three names? He ended up with the Falcons. Not John. I'm thinking John David Booty, but it's not John David.
I was thinking him too.
He had three, so good he had three names, and it's gonna slip my mind. At the he ended up with the Falcons for a little while.
But we're gonna get our stats department on that immediately, Scott.
But they have won with some potential because they have really good talent around them. But you've got to be the leader of that team, and to me, I just think the SEC gave him that bump of pretty good defenses he was playing against. Like, I don't think Oklahoma. Look at the conference Oklahoma is playing.
Oh, they're playing flag football.
Yeah, and that's to me. I think, you know, Murray's stats were so far padded by who he was playing against that I did. And look, I got nothing against Murray. I think he's a really good player, and he's a really good quarterback, and he's an amazing athlete. Obviously, that he's going and playing baseball now for a couple million bucks, like. He is a legitimate athlete. I get that for sure. I just think that the defenses that Tua was going up against were a little bit better than the ones that Murray were. And then for me, I've been a Heisman voter for 3 years now, and I've never voted all quarterbacks. I just feel like I think you just have to spread the love around a little bit. Like, I just hate voting quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And if I was to go, you know, it's funny, if I was to go, and this was, it wasn't an easy decision for me, because I watched Chad Greer Chad Greer is the head coach at Oceanside Academy here in Mount Pleasant. His son is Will Greer, the quarterback for West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So knowing Chad Greer pretty well, I've always had my eye on Will Greer. I watch him every Saturday just because his dad's a coach here in the offseason. Will Greer trains here in Mount Pleasant. So we've got a little bit of a relationship. There's a little bit of a, you know, I kind of know him and keep my eye on him. And his stats were gaudy too, but again, a product of the conference he plays in. But I just don't like voting three quarterbacks. I just feel like you should, you know, you should just give the love somewhere else because there are guys out there who are deserving of it. You know, Gene Sapikoff from the newspaper here wrote a really good article like why Christian Wilkins should be up there for a Heisman Trophy because of what he means to his team. I didn't think that far. I wasn't stretching that far. But when you look at Travis Etienne and when you go for 20 touchdowns and really allow Clemson's quarterbacks and receivers to do what they do because of your running ability, and Clemson was that good, I thought Etienne deserved my third place vote. And granted, when you're voting for a guy for third place, you don't expect him to win the thing, but you give him a point and you at least get him on there, maybe a chance to go to New York.
How many voters are there total?
I don't know the exact amount. It's like it's basically like an electoral college that you would have in politics. So like South Carolina has a certain amount of teams.
Okay.
South Carolina has a certain amount of votes, and I have one of the votes. I am not positive whose vote I got. I think it was Bart Wright from the Greenville News when he retired.
Wow.
I think I got his vote, but there's only a few. I believe there's three in Charleston. Gene Sapikoff from the Post and Courier, Bobby Harton from ESPN Radio, and myself, I believe, are the only three in Charleston. I don't know the rest of the state, how many there are, but I would venture to think like five or six from the state of South Carolina. A state like Texas, California, Florida, New York probably have more just because of their populations. But I don't know if it goes by population or the amount of Division I colleges in the state. That, you know, that I'm not positive about how it exactly works. But I know every state has a representative. That representative like monitors the people in that state and the work they do. And then they, when a spot opens up from the state, they nominate you. So like 3 years ago, I was nominated. I got a call and just had to answer kind of a questionnaire about who I work for, what I do, some of my body of work. And then they approved me. And now I get the vote every year. I think I have it until I retire or die. I think is it.
Sounds like some gerrymandering to me.
That's very good insight on the Heisman voting processes. I never knew that. I figured you just kind of.
I didn't either. I thought it was just, here's votes there.
But you have to be nominated. That's pretty cool.
You're nominated by a state representative who's vetted by like the Heisman Trust. And then it's amazing like how it's done by, like the voting is done by Deloitte, like the company that does the Oscars and the Emmys and stuff. So like they send you one like cryptic email with like a password and a second password. And then you put that in and then you get another email back with a third password.
Blood sample.
You put that password in and then you you can – it's pretty wild.
Accountants will get you.
We're hoping with this podcast that we'll be nominated to be a Heisman voter.
Absolutely,
2038.
But
the problem is they're gonna get a ballot back that's like Debo Samuel 1, Michael Scarnecchia 2.
Are those reaches?
Like 3 is gonna be Parker White, and then they're gonna be like, wait a second here, who's filling out this ballot?
Hey, speaking of a good segue, on to the Gamecocks. What would you grade Muschamp over his first 3 years? If you had to assign him a grade, what would you do?
You know, I give him like a 6 or a 7. Yeah. I mean, I thought last year the Michigan win in the bowl game, I mean, that's a pretty good year. That's a solid body of work. I thought injuries certainly hurt. I mean, injuries killed him this year. You know, I was having a discussion the other day. Like, I know injuries are fluke things and they happen. But like, do you have to maybe turn to like the strength and conditioning staff and say, maybe something's wrong that we're getting so many guys injured? Like, do you think at some point it might fall back on your strength and conditioning?
I would agree with that if it weren't so one side of the football. If it weren't so just defensive players or just, you know, one position. But, you know, if it were across the board, I would agree. But, you know, it's got to be just kind of fluky bad luck that they're almost all defenders and not.
But how can you strength train an ankle? I mean, it seems like that's some of our injury.
Maybe it's overworked or whatever. Yeah. But when it's all on one side of the football, it makes you scratch your head a little bit, as opposed to, you know, across the board injuries at every single position.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a, such a weird thing. And so, you know, as far as Muschamp goes, like going back to the original question, I think he's done a pretty good job. I like to give a guy, you know, 4 years to really give me a full body of work and really get his own guys in there and his own system in there. I thought what he did last, I mean, I think his best move right now, when you look back in hindsight, that was a pretty good move firing Kurt Roper last year.
Yeah, it was.
Because I thought, you know, towards the end of this year, that offense was starting to click pretty well. And you look at that Clemson game, that was pretty impressive what that offense did against a really good defense. So, I give him a good mark on that. That's a good move for him. I think it's certainly a check mark for right now. I believe it's a check mark that it looks like he's going to keep his entire coaching staff intact. It looks like Werner is out of the running for the Ole Miss coordinator job, the offensive coordinator job. You know, Bentley obviously didn't go to Auburn. So he's putting some money out there. He's got facilities going for him. He's keeping good coaches who are good recruiters in, which is good. I think Muschamp ultimately is going to be judged. And it's funny because he's a defensive guy. But ultimately, I think he's going to be judged next year on how he is able to handle the quarterback situation. If Bentley is back and Joyner is back and Holinsky comes in, how do you manage that, keeping those guys happy and getting the most production? You know, like, how do you manage that all? You know, okay, so if Bentley plays next year, which I think he's earned at this point, like, okay, well, Joyner now is like a, you know, high four-star guy who's a lot of expectations placed on him. He went there because they said, you're going to play quarterback. I don't think you could tell him to play wide receiver at that point. Holinsky's going to come in, and he's the highest recruited of any of them. How are you going to keep three of those guys happy? And you can't use the low, I'm going to ease him into it excuse as a freshman, because when you look right up the road at Clemson and you throw Trevor Lawrence in there and look what he's done as a freshman. So guys can step in and play right away as a freshman. So do you bench Bentley is a senior? Do you give Joyner? That changes your offense up a little bit. And what do you do with Holinsky? I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Will Muschamp. He's recruited so well that he's going to have to manage and temper that recruitment to see how this whole thing rolls next year.
Yeah, I tend to agree, because you don't want to end up in a situation like Clemson where you've got
– No.
I mean, it would be the opposite, I guess. Well, unless they bench Jake. I mean, if you got a guy with Jake's talent and his resume, you know, he did much better this year than last year. You're going to put him on the bench over a young guy. I mean, that's not going to sit well with a lot of people.
Especially because Bobby's coming back next year. Right. He could have gone to Auburn. Like, you know, like, if Bobby's coming back next year, I think you got to respect him in the matter that you're going to play his son. Sure. I think
the red shirt rule is going to help here a little bit, help ease that burden with Holinsky being able to play in four games and still get a shirt, and then Joyner now being a red shirt freshman, and he'll get packages versus playing.
He's the backup now.
Yeah,
I mean you don't have Skarnecchia.
Right.
So he's
backup. He's going to have to play next year. If he doesn't play, then Holinsky will have to play, and you lose that red shirt. So.
Right. Yeah. No. You're right. It's just how you got to manage three quarterback egos, and so I think that's going to be a big part of the management. Holding over the staff, I think, helps, and I think the defense just. I don't know. I mean, Kinlaw coming back, I think, is huge. I think Kinlaw will probably be the defensive player of the year in the SEC next year, or close to it. I think he's a beast. I mean, we covered him in high school here, and I mean, he was an absolute beast. The fact that he trimmed down and got his act together and everything that he's done at South Carolina, I mean, he's the kind of – I mean, I talked to Chuck Reedy quite a few times. Chuck Reedy and I were pretty tight when he was here in town. And Chuck Reedy knows NFL player. I mean, Chuck Reedy was a head coach at Baylor. He was a offensive coordinator on the national championship team. Chuck Reedy knows guys. And you know, he told me, I mean, he would tell me guys as freshmen, you know, he told me as a freshman, Brandon Shell will be an NFL pick. There's no question about it. He's not going to be the flashiest guy, but he's going to get the job done. And he was.
Yep.
Chuck Reedy said to me, when you look at athleticism, just sheer beast athleticism, Javon Kinlaw is one of the best I've ever seen in high school. And now he's taken that and that compliment from Chuck Reedy, and he's trimmed down and gotten his athleticism to where it's like honable now. I think he's going to be sick next year. So I think if Muschamp gets the defense going like he's known to do, I mean, he's a defensive guy. You got to take the reins on that. If you manage the quarterbacks and you hone in the defense and you've kept your coaching staff, I think you've got pretty good special teams next year. I think they could be pretty good. I would judge Will Muschamp on that fourth year.
Yeah, like you said earlier, Scott, we are definitely degenerate gamblers. So we're gonna throw you right in the fire here and get your take on the two playoff games. What do you think? First off, Cotton Bowl, number two Clemson versus number three Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a plus 11.5 underdog.
Yeah, I know. I probably, and we're playing a spread on this. We're not just playing it straight up, right?
Spread, yes, sir. 11.5 is what you got to work with.
Over under 55.
Over under 55. You don't have to pick. You could do an over under if you want to too.
No, I'll pick Clemson. I just think they're just mowing over teams. I mean, they are just mowing over teams and
ACC teams.
that is very true. But half of Notre Dame's schedule was ACC.
That's fair too.
Fair. This is an ACC game for them.
So who's to say who's better?
I think at first my initial thing would have been like, I don't know about a freshman quarterback playing in, you know, that stage of a Cotton Bowl, knowing that the national championship's on the other end of this thing and it's at Jerry World and everything. But Trevor Lawrence has played in some pretty big atmospheres this year and he's been just fine. I just don't think, you know, I've looked into Notre Dame's quarterback book pretty, you know, I've watched quite a bit of video on him and I mean, he's legit, but I don't know if Notre Dame is going to get anything going against that defensive front of Clemson. I just think that defense, you know, if Notre Dame can start throwing the ball the way South Carolina did, maybe they put up some points, but I just don't know if they're going to have time to do that. Those four up front for Clemson are just absolute beasts. So yeah, I'll go Clemson. I'll take Clemson. You know, I know it's probably not going to be a popular pick there. I know my wife is definitely not pulling for Clemson. My wife is losing me for a week to go to Dallas. She is not going to be happy if I end up in San Francisco for a couple days. She's not going to be happy about that. Me dumping the kids on her even longer. So let's go Clemson in that
game. All right. Noted.
Well, how about the other game right after that? Alabama versus Oklahoma. That's a 14-point spread over under 81.
Oof.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot, yeah.
That looks like
Oklahoma,
a typo.
Like we said earlier, Oklahoma scores, but Oklahoma hasn't seen a defense like Alabama.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah. You got Tua, who's probably going to be upset he didn't win the Heisman, and he might be upset because he's actually hurt too. So
yeah, they might be riding hurts.
Yeah, article came out today said he might not even play.
Jeez.
If Tua doesn't play, if we know he's not playing, how much do you think that changes the spread?
I got to think. At least a field goal, probably a touchdown.
Yeah, probably a touch.
I think it goes to 10. Yeah, 10 or 7. Yeah.
At that point, maybe I pick Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Although Hurts plays so well in the biggest games. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you put Hurts in a situation where his back is against the wall, and he's the guy. Like, he's your guy. I mean, that's one thing. You're not really playing with a backup quarterback. You're playing with a quarterback who led you to a national championship game. I mean, like, that's not really a backup quarterback. I just don't know if Oklahoma is going to do it against that type of defense. That's a pretty swarming defense right there. That's a tough one to pick. I'll go Oklahoma. I'll go against the grain on that one. I'll go Oklahoma.
Scott, do you think there's a chance that Kyler Murray is going to have a little bit of a, you know, I won the Heisman.
Heisman hangover.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I'm not going to try too hard in this one.
No, too composed for that. Okay. He's too composed for that. And the pressure's off, man. Like, the pressure's off. Like, you don't have to – there are guys, you know, this is their last chance to, you know, impress NFL scouts. He doesn't have to do that.
No.
He's going to play baseball. Like, he doesn't have to do that.
I think – I also think this – that he will be a challenge for Bama's defense. And I know Saban and those guys will scheme, and they'll probably drop a linebacker or spy him and things like that, but – the guy is electric with the football in his hands and can run away from any cornerback, so let alone a linebacker. So it'll be interesting to see how Saban plays that.
That's true. Yeah, and like, just offensive game planning, like, to me, if you say to me I can have one coach in the country, I'm taking Lincoln Riley.
Sure, sure.
I mean, he's going to come up with something. Like, he is that next generation of the can't miss kid. Like, he is he already is the can't miss
kid. Yeah, the
kid.
NFL already, team's beating down his door.
Lincoln Riley, I think, is our age, if not a year or two younger than us. Like, and you know, look what we've accomplished. I mean, you guys are sitting in the bottom.
I got a podcast, so
talking about gambling. I'm working in Market 94, and he's coaching in the college football playoffs. So it shows where we are in our perspective.
Apples and oranges. Oh, apples, man. And oranges.
And but yeah, I mean, he's the kind of guy that I wouldn't, you know, he'll come out, he'll drop a couple trick plays, he'll drop a couple things that. If you could graduate a Heisman winner and then groom another guy into the Heisman the next year, that's pretty good. If you could tell me I could have one guy leading my program right now, obviously, you know, Saban is kind of your can't miss, but Lincoln Riley is pretty close to that.
That won't hurt on the recruiting trail.
No, by no means will it hurt on the recruiting trail.
I think we agree Bama's a dynasty at this point. Scott, I just got handed a slip of paper here. It says Charleston City Paper has voted you the best sportscaster in 2011, 2016, 17, and 18. That's four W's in 8 years. Would you consider yourself a dynasty?
Would I consider myself a dynasty? Oh, man. All I get is a couple free beers at the party and a nice trophy with like Bill Murray's face on it.
That's better than any award we've ever won. So. Yeah.
The one thing when Nick Saban wins a national championship, isn't his bonus like six figures?
Oh yeah.
I don't even get a firm handshake at work for winning those awards. So I don't know if you can consider that a dynasty. It doesn't really matter if it is, because I'm not seeing the green from it.
One more thing, Scott, before we go. Big concert recently announced here. Hootie and the Blowfish. You are really well connected with those guys. What are your thoughts on this concert, and have you talked to Darius? Is he excited to come back to Columbia?
I haven't talked to him since they announced it. But you guys are taking it from us. That's garbage. Yeah,
they added a second date here.
They added two there. We're not getting one in Charleston.
Yikes.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they're not playing the homegrown on Daniel Island. Like that is our last hurrah. Because like it's usually like the day after Sertoma Classic. So like Sertoma is usually that Friday. We always go to homegrown that Saturday night. It's like our last hurrah before football season starts. It's like just a gathering of, you know, old dorks like me who, you know, living our heydays. We're all paying for babysitters, and we're losing that because of you guys this year. And I get it. You know, they formed in Columbia. I get it. But I will put up. I would put Volvo Car Stadium here in Charleston over the Colonial Life Arena any day of the week as a concert venue.
It sounds like you're going to have to drive up 26 and have a few beers with us.
Yeah,
I might have to do it. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to what is the place over there called? The Hunter Gatherer? Are we going to go?
Maybe Thirsty Fellow.
Thirsty Fellow. Yeah, they're both walkable. Both of them are walkable to the arena. Yeah, we'll do it. Like. Yeah, that would be my wife already just gave me the stare down. I saw they're playing Madison Square Garden. You know, what would it be like to see them at Madison Square Garden? One last hurrah. And I don't know if you saw my bio there last year. I was nominated for an Emmy Award, and I went to the Emmys in Atlanta last year. Let's just say one Emmy came back to Charleston. It wasn't me. It was Hootie and the Blowfish's Mark Bryan. He won an Emmy last year. and so he brought an Emmy back to Charleston. I lost miserably.
Well, as South Carolina fans, there's always next year, buddy.
Oh, yeah. There's always next year.
Just going to have to drown your sorrows in your three-peat you got going here for Charleston City Paper. You know what I mean?
Well, Scott, you'll always win an Emmy in our book. And we just we looked forward to having you here for that beer before that concert. But we appreciate your time today. Thank you for your insight. And we hope to have you back on the show here at some point soon.
Yeah, whenever you want. Just give me a buzz. That sounds great. Enjoy listening to you guys. I listen to the podcast, and I can't wait to listen to this one.
All right, Scott Eisberg, WCIV. Thank you very much, buddy.
Cheers, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, that's going to do it for the end of this segment. We're going to be back in just a second. Stick around. All right, we are back. Special thanks again to Scott. Awesome interview there, and we look forward to having him back on as soon as we can. We have got a whole slate of bowl games here for you. We're going to do six here that we like, that we want to talk about, and then we've got a very exciting fast money round running through the rest of the slate. Let's start off with the ones we are going to call our bowls of interest, Belk Bowl, our South Carolina Gamecocks versus the Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia is a plus four over under set at 54.5. What do you think, Stir?
I think we should be able to field a defense. I think we have a few players left. Apparently today one of our players has a broken neck. That's never what you want to see in the injury report. Plus four, I think the Gamecocks win by double digits. I think we score lots of points. I think it's a back-and-forth game. But I do think the Gamecocks come out ahead with a couple of late touchdowns. I think Bentley probably goes for 300 yards and hopefully comes back to school next year.
Cox cover, pretty easy. Virginia soft. Yeah, Cox cover. Give it to me.
Bueller. Get in price on this, $29, and I've got the Gamecocks covering.
Easy.
Gamecocks cover, easy. Bad ACC team.
Yeah, I'm gonna just add on to that what everybody else is saying because Virginia 7-5 team. Yeah, we're 7-5 too in a harder conference. Gamecocks minus four, and I'll be glad to tweet some picks out whenever I'm there for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Cox minus four all day. Again, mediocre ACC versus slightly above average SEC. Jake's going for some records. Average, Jake's going to throw for 3+.
3,000. Yeah,
so, yeah.
I think we could be setting ourselves up for crickets, but.
You think so?
We could also be setting ourselves up for a parlay hit.
I can't tell you one Virginia player, and I would consider.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. All right.
Don't know. By 90.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, number 10 Florida Gators versus number 7 Michigan. Michigan minus 7.5 coming off the beating from Ohio State. Over under at 51. Clay.
Yeah. Florida's 9-3, number 10 in the country. I'm not really sure how. This game is going to be boring. I'm not going to do it, but I want to do a stir here.
No, do it.
But I'm not going to.
Come on.
Because this game is going to be a 13-10 type of game. it really is. Give me the Gators plus 7.5. I think they could be a sneaky pick here against Michigan. Shea Patterson doesn't do anything for me. The defense for Florida is pretty good. So I'm taking the Gators plus the points.
They lost to a tough Missouri team. Okay. They beat LSU. They lost to Kentucky. That's not good. I like Florida. I do like Florida. I do not like Michigan. I don't like Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a tryhard. Give me the Gators.
I think Michigan rolls here. I think Michigan's a pretty good team. They had a bad day against Ohio State. Florida's not that good. I think Michigan wins.
Gamecocks were up 17 in the swamp.
Yeah, I think Florida's a bit of a fraud.
Yep.
As well. I hate Michigan. Everything about them, their coach, players, organization, the whole deal. But I got Michigan in the points.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan has a lot to play for in this game besides maybe keeping Harbaugh his job. But I'm taking Michigan. I don't believe in Florida being as good as they are, even though they've 9-3 or whatever they are.
Florida has overachieved all year. None of us believe in them, but they continue to do well. And they're 8-4 against the spread. By the way, getting price of this game, $68. And I think Florida fans will – We'll get to that game, and they will cover.
All right.
Rather George.
Gator Bowl, NC State, Wolfpack. Jeez, are you kidding me? Versus number 19, Texas A&M. Texas A&M's only a 6-point favorite, over under at 58.5. Jacksonville, Actionville, squeak.
Love going to Jacksonville. Maybe more of the dog track than the Gator Bowl, especially this game.
RIP dog track.
Mm. Yeah, going away.
But NC State, not very good in the terrible, terrible ACC conference. Give me A&M covering all day. That's all I got to say about it.
This is a game where Jimbo Fisher has got to finish this strong. He's got to prove with his huge contract what he's doing and that he's making progress already. And $37 to get in this game, by the way. I've got Texas A&M.
Yeah, 12th man all day on the minus six. NC State's just not good. A&M covers six, easy.
A&M's 8-4 in Jimbo's first year. I think, with that contract, they would probably expect a little bit more. But Kellerman's going to run past. Maybe he'll kick a field goal. He's probably going to be Mr. Do-It-All. I got A&M minus six.
Give me the over.
Oh, boy.
58.5. I think there's points to be scored here. Most of them by A&M. So I think that the A&M pick is an easy pick. But just for shits and giggles, I'm going to take the over.
I think A&M rolls. Give me A&M minus six. No problem. Citrus Bowl. Number 14, Kentucky versus number 12 Penn State. Somewhat of an intriguing matchup here.
James Franklin coming back to the SEC. Yep,
there you go, playing an old SEC East rival. Penn State's minus 6.5 point favorite, over under at 47.5.
Vandy doesn't have rivals.
In the land of Mickey Mouse in Orlando. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Trace McSorley is vastly overrated as a quarterback. I got Kentucky covering and winning this game outright on the money line. So give me Kentucky all
Brett
day.
Betting on Benny.
Yeah, he's a – I don't like him either. But we'll just leave it at that. He's a player. He's a player. He's good. But he's cocky.
I mean, are we going to be that SEC biased? I mean, seems like we are. But I'm going to take Kentucky. I don't think Penn State is really that good. Kentucky not great either. But then the SEC grit gets it done against the Big Ten team. Give me Kentucky.
Kentucky hasn't won a bowl game since 2008. This is $63 to get in. Those Kentucky guys can fly down, go to Disney World, spend less money to get in the game than they would go to Disney World. I think this is a big game for them. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win. I got Kentucky.
I'm definitely taking Kentucky in the points here. Benny Snell's going to get it done on the ground. Their quarterback started to pass the ball a little bit towards the end of the season and kind of showing people that he can actually do both things, not just run. So trap money Benny for me.
Give me Penn State.
Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Give me them Nittany Lions.
I'm going to take the over, 47.5. I think that's allowed? Ooh, that's low.
47, that is low.
It's pretty low. Kentucky can score a little bit. Penn State can score a little bit against, you know.
Kentucky plays a lot of D, though.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, defensive player.
Very good football player.
I still think 47.5 is a low number.
Draft Josh Allen.com.
The new draft, JoshAllen.com. Give me the over, 47.5. Camping World. Number 16, West Virginia versus number 20, Syracuse. Syracuse is a plus 1.5, over-under set at 68. This is, I think, the best matchup here in this bowls of interest. Dino Babers.
Offense is electric.
I got some crickets from him a couple episodes back.
Redeemed himself.
New York Yankee game at the Yankee Stadium when they got blanked.
By Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They got three. Give him some credit.
They kicked a late field goal to save face for you.
And I've been very vocal that I love West Virginia and I love Dana Holgorsen.
Great hair.
Yeah, I think.
Is it great hair?
I mean, keep in mind, Will Greer is not playing.
Yeah, that is true.
Not playing.
I still think that Dana's got a guy. I mean, I don't know who that guy is, but
I'm not sure. Can we effort that name,
stats guy? Can you get on who's the backup?
And his name is Jack Allison.
I mean, what a winner! Could be
two
a race
first
car
names,
driver.
Foot six
winner.
Two first Yikes. Names, male and female. You don't see
system.
That
system 6 for 10, 60%
system,
75 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Dana's got a month to get him ready.
Coach him up.
Dino Babers got a contract extension today, and I think that he's really feeling that cash right now. So suck it, Dino. I'll never forgive you for what you did to me.
Yeah, I mean, it looked bad.
Back crickets.
Give me the Mountaineers. Camping World, too. I mean, if anybody knows how to camp, it's people from West Virginia.
Sure. You got to play.
So give me West Virginia.
If you win that game, do you play your little tune again?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to choose West Virginia just to hear that tune again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I am not choosing West Virginia. without Will Greer, they're not the same team. They're just not.
We don't
and
know
I think
that.
they're going to be
definitely
demoralized.
A risky.
I'm taking. I think just the safe bet's going to be Syracuse.
I think it just goes to show ACC is trash. They might not win a bowl game.
they usually don't.
I'm take West Virginia. Give me the backup in the system, and it probably take care of Syracuse.
I have almost no opinion or analysis on this game
or
except
interest.
Something very important. $43 getting this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's expensive. Without Will Greer, this game is just not as intriguing to me. I feel like Dino, the last dinosaur or whatever his name is is definitely. Yeah, you like that Dino, the
police.
Last dinosaur?
That was great.
Yeah, I got Syracuse in this game.
Gonna totally disagree with Adam here. I think you said this would be the most one of the most interesting games.
You think it's gonna be bad?
5:15
on the worst game.
5:15 on a Friday. I mean, can we even get home to watch it in time?
I'll be home.
I was talking about the matchup, not the schedule.
Sterling, will you be home?
Right. Yeah,
we'll
get that.
We'll be working on the 28.
It could be Will Greer or it could be Nash Greer playing quarterback for West Virginia. They're going to beat Syracuse.
Is that his brother? Who was that?
He's a star on Vine. He's way more popular than Will Greer. So
yikes.
On what? That's Vine? His little brother.
Doesn't Vine not exist anymore?
No, Vine's no longer.
Oh, man.
They cut the Vine.
I think it's called Instagram now.
RIP, Vine. Okay. They cut the Vine.
I used to love Vine, by the way.
You would.
West Virginia minus 1.5. They're only giving up 1.5 points against Syracuse.
That's what it says. Yeah.
With a backup.
Basically a pick 'em.
Is this a mortgage bet?
You took the Mountaineers.
Oh, crickets.
Oh, my God.
I don't even think this game's close.
Thank you, Clinton. Thank you. All right. Last of our bowls of interest, Music City Bowl. In Nashville, Purdue versus Auburn. Auburn minus 3.5 over under at 54.5. This is, I guess, the lead in to that Camping World game on the 28th. What do you think, Trev?
How crazy is that Purdue beat Ohio State, right?
Blew them out.
I mean, if Purdue doesn't win that game, they're not in a bowl. And Ohio State's probably in the playoff. So what a huge turning point in the college football season. This game to me, by the way, $46 to get in. Not too bad.
46,
yeah.
In Nashville?
In Nashville, yeah. Love it. I feel like Gus Malzahn's got a lot to prove here. Mm-hmm. As of this recording, they still have an offensive coordinator?
They do.
Okay, yeah. Finally have one.
Today, I believe.
Yesterday. That's right.
Hired the guy from Memphis.
That's right, not going to call plays?
That was my Stephen A. Smith.
He's not going to call plays.
Not allowed to say anything.
He basically just has the title.
Yeah. Collect your paycheck, sir.
Pretty much. But he's got a lot to prove here. He's going to have to call some ball plays this game and prove that he is because this he's got one tremendous offseason here. If they don't do well, he's got a lot of pressure on him. So I got Auburn to cover here.
I'm glad I'm right behind you, Trev, because I couldn't agree more with you. This is a huge game, like we talked about, playing for something. I mean, the higher ups at Auburn are just handcuffing Gene. I mean, we talked about how he just hired a guy for OC.
Who's Gene?
I'm sorry, Jesus. That's for okay. Gus.
That was the previous coach they fired.
I appreciate the assist
there. A lot
there.
Of Stephen A. Smith on the show. Yeah.
A lot of mistakes.
Basically, we don't know shit, so don't bet on it.
That's why I don't bet on it. But they're like handcuffing him not being able to hire anybody. That's why they hired a guy who's not even going to call plays. I got Auburn. They got to just win with style and make it not even close.
I'm going with Dumb and Dumber here. Auburn, big.
Guys.
Am I Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, you and Trev, dumb.
I think we're underestimating Purdue here.
No, we're not.
Look, Purdue's got...
Is Drew Brees playing?
What's Purdue's coach's name? I just blanked
Jeff
on his
Brom.
Name. Jeff Brom is an absolute psychopath. I think he's got a month to prepare. The team is motivated.
Turned down Louisville, where his entire family...
His alma mater.
He didn't want to go coach there.
So
maybe his family sucks.
Tyler Trent, is that the kid, the sick kid that's been kind of
correct
uniting the fan base and getting the guys fired up? I think that Purdue can get it done, and I think that it'll be not a close game. Gus Malzahn can suck one.
Yeah, I got Auburn big here. Big.
Smart lad.
All right. Fast money picks coming up, you guys.
Squeak, you gonna pick?
Oh, I did it again.
Dad just steps on his toes.
I'm
gonna take
Auburn. At the end of the table.
I'm gonna take Auburn SEC all the way.
Fast money picks. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Set, go. First set of picks: tasty foods. Idaho Potato Bowl, Western Michigan versus BYU. BYU minus 12, over under at 49.5. Give me BYU. Thank you very much.
I got the old Cheez-Its deliciousness. We got Cal versus TCU. It's a pick 'em over under at 40.5. Give me TCU.
Yeah, the Outback Bowl. It's number 18, Mississippi State versus Iowa. Iowa's plus 7. Taking the Bulldogs minus 7 for me.
All right, next set of bowls. Stuff that sounds like it's from Texas.
The Frisco Bowl, San Diego State versus Ohio Bobcats. Ohio minus 3.5, over-under set at 54. Give me the Bobcats.
I don't even know how to pronounce this.
Gasparilla.
Okay, I'll go with that. We got Marshall versus South Florida. South Florida getting 2.5, over-under 55. Give me South Florida.
Not sure how this made it into stuff that sounds like Texas, but the Texas Bowl. Baylor versus Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt minus 4, 9 o'clock ESPN, $6 to get in this game. I got Vanderbilt.
Alamo Bowl. Number 24, Iowa versus number 13,
Washington. Iowa State.
Iowa State. That's a big difference.
Big
there.
Cyclones.
Versus number 13, Washington State. Washington State minus 3.5. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Give me Mike Leach.
Love him, Mike Leach.
All day, Mike Leach. Next set of bowls, the Killer Bees.
I got the Boca Raton Bowl. I got UAB versus Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois getting 2.5, over under at 43. Obviously, this game's in Boca Raton. Give me UAB.
Yeah, the Bahamas Bowl, FIU versus the Toledo Rockets, -5.5. Maction. I love me some Toledo Rockets, -5.5.
Birmingham Bowl, Memphis versus Wake Forest. Wake Forest, a 4-point dog, over under set at 74. This game is in Birmingham. Give me Memphis.
Birmingham, England, or Birmingham, Alabama?
All right, USA Bowls, the United States of America.
America.
You got the Armed Forces Bowl. Love the military games. Houston versus Army. Army -3, over under at 61. I'm going to take Army.
We've got the Dollar General Bowl here. Buffalo versus Troy. Troy, a 2-point underdog. 7 o'clock from Mobile. Scott Eisberg's buddy, our guest, Brian Wolf, Associate AD at Buffalo. Mm. No one circles a wagon like Brian Wolf's Associate AD. I've got Buffalo in that
Love
game.
First Responder Bowl, Boston College versus number 25, Boise State. Boise State -3, over under set at 55.5 in Dallas. Boise State rolls, suck one, Boston College.
Independence Bowl, Temple versus Duke. Duke getting 3.5, over under set at 55. This one's down in Shreveport.
Love Shreveport.
Give me Temple.
Yeah, Pinstripe Bowl. Miami's playing Wisconsin. Wisconsin is getting 4 points, over under 48. This is a baseball stadium game playing in Yankee Stadium. Yuck. Love the Hurricanes.
Oh, I get it.
Love the Hurricanes up in New York, -4. Oh, I get the Pinstripe Bowl.
I got the Military Bowl, so we have out of military and of armed forces. Cincinnati versus Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, a 5-point dog, over-under set at 53.5. Give me the Hokies.
I got the Liberty Bowl, Missouri versus Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State getting 8.5. Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow. I'm going to go with the over-under that is set at 74. Give me the over.
Lots of points in that game, Squeak.
Love that pick. Last set of bowls here. These are the Who Cares Bowls.
Aww.
Nobody cares.
Wow.
Maybe somebody cares. I don't know. I got the Hawaii. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
I got the Hawaii Bowl there, Adam.
You would try to steal the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, you would.
Born and raised. No big deal.
Somehow Hawaii makes it into the Hawaii Bowl. That's crazy. Louisiana Tech versus Hawaii. Hawaii only a 1-point underdog. I guess those fans just don't go to that game. $22 get in.
Travel cost. A lot of travel costs.
A lot of Honolulu cost.
Over under 60. I've got the under.
Quick Lane Bowl. What is that? Is that like Jiffy Lube?
Tires, yeah.
Minnesota versus Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech -6. Paul Johnson out. Is he coaching the game? I guess he probably is.
He is
coaching the game. Give me the triple option one last time. Georgia Tech all over Minnesota.
I got the Arizona Bowl. This one's played in Arizona. It's Arkansas State versus Nevada. Old Kaepernick on stopping grounds. Nevada is a dog at 1.5, over under at 60. Give me Arkansas State.
Sun Bowl, Stanford versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is getting 6.5, over under 52. This game is in El Paso. I find myself watching this game every year. I swear to God, you won't believe me. Stanford -6.5 against a bad, bad Pittsburgh team that lost in the ACC championship game.
I got the Red Box Bowl. Is Red Box still a thing?
Yeah.
How can they afford
for
to
people
sponsor
over 60?
How can they afford to sponsor a game? Michigan State versus Oregon. Oregon 3-point favorite. Over under set at 48. Give me that over.
How many games are at Levi Stadium?
That was a point. I noticed that too.
A lot.
I have the Holiday Bowl. Northwestern versus Utah. Utah 7-point favorite. Over under 46.
Two ranked teams, by the way.
22 and 17. I'll take Utah covering the 7 bowls.
We did it.
Can I have a Gatorade?
That was fun.
How many games was that?
23 games. 23. That means Trevis needs to make another pick.
I've got one real quick.
Give it to
South
me.
Dakota State versus North Dakota State in the FCS Championship semifinals.
Yeah.
Let's
get it.
Good.
One, by the way, get in price of this game. You're not going to believe this. $213.
What?
Wow. Are you
holy crap.
Playing in
somebody's backyard?
Playing in someone's backyard.
Is it in North or South Dakota?
It's usually in that dome up there in North Dakota,
isn't
it?
Fargo
Dome?
Fargo.
Can't even find a spread, but going to go ahead and set this at North Dakota State -6, and I've got North Dakota State.
Great pick, Trevor. Right.
Great pick.
All right, that's going to do it for us. What an episode. Thanks again to Scott Eisberg for joining us. Hope you guys got some good insight here on some bowl games, but but you shouldn't bet on it because we don't know what we're talking about.
Everyone is above 50%, though, for the record, for the season.
That is true.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. Don't bet on it, pod.
There you go. Follow us on Twitter.
Thanks for following us.
Stay tuned to the podcast feed for any upcoming episodes. Hope we got some good stuff coming up here for you. We got NFL playoffs coming up.
Playoffs?
Super Bowl, March Madness.
The Masters.
We might not be as heavy as we are in college football because that's kind of our bread and butter.
That's what we do.
Got a lot of good stuff coming up. Thanks for joining us, and have a good bowl season.
Happy holidays. Well, remember the guy who was a football star? He had it made with the ladies.